They compete hard on the field and play to win.
But in real life, they have a greater purpose.
It's more than a game.
Welcome to Faith on the Field with Rob Motti, Doug Horton, and Pastor Phil Mosher on 610 Sports ESPN Radio.
And welcome to Faith on the Field show presented by Eastern University. We are on 610 Sports ESPN Radio. I'm Rob Motti with Doug Horton. And Pastor Kyle Horner is in, and he will be here with us going forward each and every week, except when you need a day off every now and then. I know you got a tight and busy schedule.
He's all over the place.
Hey, Pastor Kyle, where are you? I'm in Scotland, Switzerland. I'm flying. I'm at the Eagles game. I'm doing this and that. We got an exciting lineup for you guys tonight. We got Duncan Phillips from the Newsboys. He's the drummer for the Newsboys, one of my favorite bands. He will be joining us in the next segment. And then after that, we're going to hear from Eagles tight end Trey Burton live from our event at Eastern University with Carson Wentz 2 weeks ago. So that's what we have coming up for you tonight. Duncan Phillips is someone who has been with Newsboys for longer than almost Ryan's been alive back there, yeah, right? So yeah. How long have you been listening to them?
Probably my first album was Hell Is for Wimps, so probably 1990-ish. So even before Duncan, and had an opportunity to be worked for Creation, which is a huge festival, and had them. They were staple for years and years and years. So I
think they still are,
forever.
Right?
Absolutely. These guys are great. I'm old school, though. I'm old school. I love them. Yeah.
Doug, they're on your playlist, right?
They were before, but when you look at Michael Tate, who's with the band now, I was listening to him back when it was DC Talk. You know, Toby Mac.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
for
a young Christian guy, like that was me really stepping
you're
out.
You're not about to say before we have a guest on that they're not on your playlist. Like you're
no,
right
they
about,
are. Absolutely. Oh, okay. No, I was just saying, you know, with Michael Tate being the lead singer there, you know, guys are bouncing around a little bit, but when you talk about Duncan Phillips, he's been there since the beginning.
Yes,
right? He rocks out, doesn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, so, he's amazing.
You know, one of my
he's
favorite things about drummer. Him, right?
What's that?
His hair. He's got great hair.
He looks like you. And guns like you. That's true.
I don't know.
No, it's true.
He makes me look like
He's a crazy drummer, bro. I mean, he's amazing good. Yeah.
Yeah, he's going to be fun to talk to, and he's got the Australian accent too.
I love it.
It sounds just like my Siri, so it's going to be.
You do love your MapQuest, right?
Yeah, man, I love it. So tonight, guys, our theme is going to be something I think that is really going to hit home for a lot of people, and it's about being all in. Mm. And you're going to hear Trey Burton later on talk about his relationship with Christ and the way it evolved from his college years when he was, as he says, 1 foot in and 1 foot out to now where he is. He's all in for Jesus. He's baptizing people in the cold tub at the team's practice facility. I can relate. I was halfway in for most of my life. I was halfway in. I trusted and believed. I prayed. I went to church, but I was never fully committed. So there's a difference between knowing that Jesus is your Savior and then making Jesus the Lord of your life. And when you make Jesus the Lord of your life, you involve him in everything you do.
Yeah.
Every decision you make, every relationship you have, every step, really. Wherever you go, whatever you do, Jesus is involved because he's the Lord of your life. He's not just your Savior. So when you have Jesus as just a Savior and you don't have him as the Lord of your life, you're going to find times where you cut corners. Maybe you do things your own way. Like I used to do things my own way and then go to confession and tell a priest and start all over, man. I got to start all over every Saturday after I said, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. I got to start all over. You cherry pick the commandments, right? You go, this one, thou shalt not kill.
Yeah.
I'm going to follow that one.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to go to jail. There's some real repercussions here. But adultery, man, or coveting my neighbor's wife and or coveting their goods. Yeah, that might be a little, I might bend the rules here. That's not being all in. Yeah. That's being 1 foot in, 1 foot out. That's accepting Jesus maybe as your Savior, but not making him the Lord of your life. So if Jesus is the Lord of your life, he guides your every thought. He guides your every word. He guides your every action. And that's what being committed and living in him, with him, and through him. And that's what I mean when I say being all in for Jesus.
It's a matter of walking with them on a daily basis. You know, we talk sometimes about if you had a family member, somebody that you really loved, you would talk to them all the time. Sometimes I think, you know, we only call out when we really need something.
Yeah.
But when you walk with Christ, it's a daily conversation. And it's awesome to hear Trey talk about this. Carson talked about this last week. He said, God is always available. Jesus is always available, that I could talk to him in the huddle, after practice, driving to the facility. And that was really came out from these guys.
Running onto the field, he said, right? Yeah. Running onto the field. He's talking to Jesus.
Yeah, but you know what? It's, there's a big difference, I think, from even the testimonies that we've had on previous episodes where guys are talking to Jesus at that point because they want to have success, right? And
that's
it's like,
good.
Hey, I'm running on the field right now, so hey, help me throw this touchdown. Help me, help us win today, right? And it's God's good when I need some success or I need some, you know, positive reinforcement, not like, hey, how can I glorify you when I run on this field today? And thank you for the opportunity. Like, I think there's a completely different perspective on that.
I think too, Doug, what you're saying is so right, because it does get down to perspective. Maybe the core of this is how you see God. And how you see your relationship with God. Is this really just about doing enough good things or bad things to be okay with God? Or is it actually a love relationship? And that's, when we look at it, Jesus said in Matthew 22:37, you know, the first and greatest commandment, the thing everything else spins on, is love the Lord your God with everything. And when we begin to look at our relationship with Jesus, is it out of a love? Because if I love someone, like I love my wife, I don't just follow the vows that I said on my wedding day because they're the vows and I want to be a good husband. I want to make sure that I'm a good person and people think that I'm a good man. I follow those vows because I love my wife. And we walk these things out together out of love. Her opinion matters to me. My opinion matters to her because it's a relationship. And I think that's sometimes where we, and the same things that get in the way in an earthly relationship get in the way of a heavenly relationship. You know, fear of being known, completely being known. What does it really mean to be fully known?
Yeah.
You know, a fear of letting someone else down, loving something else more, or maybe that other opportunity looks better.
Let's talk about that marriage aspect of being all in, okay? Because I think sometimes people get caught up in terms like being in love.
Feelings.
Yeah.
Being in love with your spouse.
Yeah.
Let's set the record straight. And my wife, Remy, I'm sure is watching.
I
love her to death. Love her, like, incredibly, right? But those feelings sometimes when you have disagreements aren't going to be feelings of love.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
So sometimes there are moments in a relationship and there are people who have relationships with their wives where they may gain distance. There may be lack of emotion. There may be, once children become involved and you have children and then the child becomes the focus of the marriage and the relationship, there's a lot of intimacy that might be lost.
Absolutely.
And then you hear that, well, we're not getting along and we can't make this work. And maybe they start throwing that D word around, that divorce word, right? But if you're all in for Jesus, right? If you're all in and you're saying you're all in your life, but then you think you may not be able to make it work with your wife, with your spouse, with your husband, you got to kind of reevaluate how far in am I, right? Mm. How far in am I with the Lord if I'm not willing to do whatever it takes in this marriage, in this relationship, in this job, in this whatever it is that I'm having an issue with? How far in am I with Christ if I'm willing to give up and walk away from whatever it is that's troubling me?
There's a different perspective too, because you may be all in, let's say in a marriage, but your partner may not be all in.
True.
And in some cases, they may want out. And you may be in a situation where you're like, hey, I'm in this no matter what, even if you do leave. And we have those relationships, right? We have job relationships. Jobs may cut us. You know, we lose our job. We get fired. We get laid off. Friends may leave us because there's just distance that grows in between. But the cool thing when we talk about a relationship with Christ is that he's never going to leave us. And that's a different perspective, I think, when we look at worldly relationships.
Absolutely.
When we base it on feelings, we base it on love. These feelings, we try and look at love as a feeling or a gift that we get, right? So you don't love me the way you used to. I'm not getting the attention that we used to. And that's a feeling, right?
Yep.
But God's love is permanent, and he's not going to leave us or forsake us. And I just think that's a huge difference when we compare God to our marriages or to our jobs or to our
friendships. Yeah, there's security in that moment. And, you know, one of the most basic needs for love is a sense of security. If I know that I'm secure, I can give love freely and receive love freely. I can be open and honest when I know that there's security. But, you know, Rob, you said something that's powerful, and Doug, you hopped off on it as well, in this concept of my feelings are always real. They're just not always truth. I do feel guilty at times. I feel guilty, but the word and condemned, but the word says the truth is there's no condemnation in Jesus. I feel unrighteous, but the word says that I wear the righteousness of Jesus. My feelings are always real, and in our world today, we've learned how to make decisions off of our feelings. You know, that old Burger King when we were growing up, have it your way. And I know that's gone the way of the dodo, but the truth is that that's still the foundation, isn't it,
yeah,
for our generation. Instead of understanding that, no, there's truth that I have to stand upon. Jesus said, if you build your life on the rock, the truth of the word of God, the storm still comes. See, that's what I love about this.
True,
we always
true.
Think the storms aren't going to come, but the wise man builds his life to survive the storm, because that's why he builds it on the rock. He knows the storms are coming. So when we make all of our decisions off of feeling, well, it's not always easy to be a Christian. It's not always easy to be in a marriage. It's, you know, and that's why I will say that the greatest thing for a marriage is not communication. It's actually forgiveness. People always say, what's the number one key
point.
For marriage?
That's
it's communication. No, it's forgiveness. Because if I learn how to forgive my spouse and she learns how to forgive me, I could be the worst communicator in the world and still get it. But if I am only communicating, but I'm communicating unforgiveness, I'm doing it in a really good way. And that's where all relationships break down. Our relationship with Jesus breaks down when we stay in unforgiveness. Either we're not forgiving of him, of the offense we hold on to, towards God,
right,
or we don't actually fully accept the forgiveness that God has towards us.
It's funny you say that, because we communicate, and Chris and I went through a challenging time, and we actually went to Pastor Phil for some advice at a time, and he said, you guys are great at communicating.
Yeah.
You communicate phenomenally, right? And the problem was is that when we communicated our selfishness, our anger, our everything that we wanted. Like, I was not
happy. But you got it out.
I was not happy with you, and I'm going to let you know it, right? And so we communicated that back and forth, but we were building these walls up, and we weren't communicating, hey, I still love you.
Yes.
I'm struggling with this, but I love you, and I want to work through this. I was like, no, you're gonna pay, right? You know,
yeah.
And that wasn't healthy. And you both have to. That's love, right?
Absolutely.
When you're willing to break down those walls, to be transparent, to be humble,
yeah,
and then basically say, hey, will you forgive me because I was wrong?
Absolutely.
And I think that's a lot of times we don't want to admit that we're wrong either.
It's the foundation of the relationship with God. What's our first foundational relationship with God? It comes from forgiveness. Everything
right.
else
exactly.
is built out of that. If we can't accept that or give that, that's where there's always going to be something in the way of that relationship or our relationships, no matter what they look like.
If we can't forgive, imagine if God didn't forgive us.
Yeah.
Well, every one of us, every little thing we do, big thing we do, every sin we may commit, if we can't forgive someone else, can we imagine a life where God doesn't forgive us?
Rob, how do you do with asking for forgiveness?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, like sometimes we find
That's
it, like we put ourselves up
yeah.
and like, oh, you did wrong to me. And so I need to forgive you, and I'm struggling with that. But like, sometimes I feel like it's even harder to say, hey, I'm sorry, will you forgive me?
Absolutely.
Because that's just, you're just lowering yourself to the lowest level.
Yeah, you got to admit that you did something wrong.
Yeah.
Which is really tough for
you,
guys
you
to do.
You didn't answer that.
Really
we'll come back to that later. That's a way to dodge that, though, Rob.
Yeah, we'll get to that in the last segment, because when we come back, we're going to have Duncan Phillips on from the Newsboys. You are listening to Faith on a Field Show, presented by Eastern University on 610 Sports, ESPN Radio.
If you shake hands with difference makers around the world, you'll meet alumni from Eastern University in every profession. Our courageous graduates are CEOs, mayors, social entrepreneurs, and Pennsylvania Teacher of the Year finalists. What makes the difference? Eastern alums have been shaped by a powerful combination of academic excellence, Christian values, and professors who truly care. Join our influential community online in Center City or on the main line. Visit eastern.edu/courage.
Hey, we get it. You're facing a lot of pressure. You got to make money. You got to have a life. You're running your kids everywhere, and you have to keep it all together. Easier said than done, right? Well, not necessarily. We're not experts. We just understand the pressures people face, and our resources are here to help. Contact Biblical Strategies for help that can begin to make a real difference. Just go to biblicalstrategies.com, biblicalstrategies.com.
Hey, this is Rob Motti. Let's talk about tomorrow for a minute. Chances are, someday, you're going to want to retire. And even though you'll stop working, you'll never want to stop achieving. You'll want to explore new ventures when you retire. You'll want to see and experience new things because you'll finally have the time to do it. But to get there, you'll need a financial strategy. Rick Santella at Morgan Stanley can help. Rick is a financial advisor, and he has more than 35 years of experience. Rick can help you create a strategy based on how you want to live now and once you retire. Rick will work with you and your attorney toward your goals like estate planning and leaving a legacy. And the great thing is, Rick is right here in Philadelphia. To make an appointment with Rick Santella, call 215-854-6018. That's 215-854-6018. Meet with Rick today to talk about your future, because when you stop working, your retirement income is going to have to work for you.
Morgan Stanley Smith Barney, its affiliates, and Morgan Stanley Financial Advisors do not provide tax or legal advice. Investments and services offered through Morgan Stanley Smith Barney LLC, member SIPC.
And welcome back to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Eastern University, 610 Sports, ESPN Radio. I'm Rob Motti with Doug Horton and Pastor Kyle Horner, and it is our pleasure to have the drummer for one of the greatest Christian bands in the world, the Newsboys, Duncan Phillips. Welcome to Faith on the Field Show. Hi, Duncan.
Hey, Rob. How you doing, mate? How are you?
Hey, we're doing great. Duncan, so we played coming back from the break. I'm not sure if he heard it. Did you hear I Am Second over there? Could you tell? All right. So that is, we're in Philly, where one of the Phillies players, Aaron Nola, who is their ace pitcher, uses that as his walk-up song when he comes to bat. And I don't know, are you aware of that? And how cool is it to have that being played in a baseball stadium? And tell us a little bit about the song as well.
I wasn't aware of that, but I think it's crazy cool that he does that. I come from the other side of the world. I've lived here for kind of half my life now, but I know nothing about sports. It's just terrible. I can't believe you have me on this show right now, because you're gonna ask me all the sports questions, and I'm like I don't know. But yeah, it's super cool. I think when any kind of, you know, sports star, you know, kind of loves the music that we do, and we've heard stuff before where, you know, they played stuff on ESPN before of our stuff, and I just think it's really cool when those two kind of worlds collide. And makes it even funnier that I know nothing about sports. That makes it even more hilarious. But yeah, that kind of came without. We got to know the crew out of I Am Second over there. And it just basically talks about, you know, we get a whole culture that kind of breeds this kind of culture of, you know, we are first, we're our own gods, where if you're good enough and you work hard enough that you can be number one. And I think the song I Am Second, we really want to say, well, at the end of the day, no matter how hard I work and how much I strive and all that's good stuff, but ultimately, I am second to the only one that really matters, and that's Jesus Christ. So that's where that came from.
Amen. So, hey, Duncan, that's it for the sports questions. I'm done with those. I'm going to move on to.
So, you could ask me more and make me look like a real tool. That'd be fun.
our theme tonight, though, is being all in for Jesus, not just knowing that Jesus is your Savior, but making Him the Lord of your life. And that's challenging for all of us to do, and whether we're talking to professional athletes or world-famous musicians, how do you make sure that Jesus is the Lord of your life with an incredibly busy schedule and all that you have going on?
It's a battle, you know, and what we do is kind of similar to sports stars because, you know, we get paid lots of money to do what we do. We get told 24/7 how great we are. You know, we go to a show, they go to a game, we get catered to in every form of fashion that we have doors open to us that, most people wouldn't. So it's a daily battle, you know, to kind of keep it real. And I think the great thing with Newsboys and being in a band is, you know, I've got three other guys plus our managers that travel with us. That, I mean, they'll think nothing of pulling me aside and just say, hey, dude, that wasn't cool, man. You know, you got to reel this in. You got to get this under control, which I've had to do. I've had to do with some of the other guys. They've had to do to me. And I think being in a team, even if it's a sports team, you know that, you know, from time to time, they've got their mates on the team having to pull them aside, or their coach pull them aside and say, dude, you can't do that. You can't say that. You can't act that way, because it reflects badly not only on you but the rest of the team. So we've constantly got this. We've had, and I know teams do too, constantly have this kind of crew around us that constantly kind of keep us in check. But it's good, because I know they're doing it out of love. I know they're not doing it out of any other reason, for the betterment of the good of the team.
Yeah, Duncan, this is Kyle Horner. It's so good to hear from you. Thanks for joining us today. I was in Australia a couple years ago and got a chance to see State of the Origin. So one major sports question, bro.
Right.
Rugby right, league or right. rugby well, union, which one?
Well, you know what? That's a tough one, because they're both great. They're both great sports, very similar, but then quite different. You've got quite a different following. Obviously, the union is probably... That's kind of what they do a lot in the schools and yep. the universities and the colleges, where league is more the working man's version of the sport. But man, they're both great games, and those guys, you know, just like American football, is crazy fit.
Come on,
crazy what they do. You know, just getting hit, and you know, as you know, they're not wearing helmets or pads or anything, which I don't think is a good idea. I think they're probably
real men.
Yeah. Massive collisions.
I don't know about that, man. I wouldn't have come across one of those defensive linemen. You know, I think they pulled me in half and chewed me up and spit me out. But yeah, they're just you know, what I love about American football is it's like a game of chess. You know, it's strategy. It's really clever. It's really smart. Where union and league is kind of they're more physical in that sense. It's a faster game. It's more of a running game. But they're both great. Great forms of football, and I love them both.
Absolutely, I love it. I thought I'd get you back into the sports lane.
Yeah, thanks, bud. I appreciate that.
Just
thanks,
one quick question. You know, you travel so much, and you're busy all the time, and people are pulling at you in every direction. But I know you're a dad, and I know that you're a husband. We live in the Northeast, where dads and moms and single parents work, you know, 60, 70 hours a week. If you could say anything, how do you make it work? How do you make it work with your kids? How do you make it work with your wife? If you could speak into that, what would you say?
Yeah, dude. I mean, I'm away. A lot of times my wife is a single mom, because, you know, I'll go away for a week or sometimes 2 weeks. We don't like to do it much more than that. So she knows, you know, firsthand what it's like. But I think the biggest key that I've found as a husband is when I get home, turn it off, man. You know, you ain't a rock star when you walk in the door. My wife and kids make, but I don't want to be. I don't want to, you know, I don't want my wife to cater to me in that sense, and kind of my kids to look at me like I'm not their dad. So I think as soon as I walk in the door, I try to put my phone down, which is really, really tough for me, because I love people. I love being social. And just really plug yourself in, man, because if you don't, you know, life goes so fast and so quick, and your kids grow up so quick. And I understand, guys, I understand how people grow apart. I get it.
Yep.
Because, you know, we're both so busy. You know, my wife, actually, she works as well. And then, you know, we have some rental properties and other businesses on the side. And then I'm kind of doing my thing. And you know, like one of the commercials I heard playing earlier on your show is, you know, we've got soccer games, all these extracurricular activities. I mean, it's go, go, go,
you know,
24/7. But man, I've got to take my wife out on a date. And that's, as a husband, man, that's the battle, man. Cause you've got your whole culture and society just fighting you on your relationships. They're just trying to, it's a fight. Yeah. There's a battle for our families and our relationships. And, I think once you recognize that, though, it makes it a little bit easier to see it. But, man, I try to take my wife out whenever I can. But because the thing is, the problem is, you know, we tend to pour so much of our lives into our kids, which is a great thing. But then we forget about each other. And then we hear these stories time and again of these couples married for 20, 25 years. And then the kids leave the house. And then they look at each other and go, well, who are you? I don't know you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then they end up getting divorced over stupid stuff. So that's my biggest fear.
Duncan, I'm about to cut you off because you're getting me in trouble with my wife. She's listening to the interview, and I'm telling you, she just messaged on Facebook saying,
couple times.
She said, babe, you have to take notes. Apparently, I'm in trouble when I go home.
Yeah, you're in trouble. Sorry, man. I apologize. I'll stop. You still got to romance your wife, you know.
Amen.
Really important.
For sure.
Important part of it, you know, and we forget about it because, look, it's never convenient. It's always inconvenient, you know, getting babysitters and organizing all that. It just becomes something that almost is too hard sometimes, you know. But you got to do it. It's always worth it, you know.
Definitely. So I want to ask you this question about music, because Christian music for so many years was gauged by lyrical content, not necessarily the music itself. But I kind of feel like you guys wanted to change that a few years ago. Where do you think it stands now?
I think it's getting better for sure. We've always been a band that's tried to, obviously the lyrical content's going to be there, and it's very important, obviously. But I felt personally that a lot of CCM was just musically just inept. I mean, boring. It's just vanilla, generic, you know.
True.
And there's some that still is, but you know what? At the end of the day, you know, God's word goes out and doesn't return void. So there's that. But on the other hand, I think as musicians and as a band, I think we need to really keep on striving for the show to get better, to make better records, to make sing better songs. I mean, all across the board, I think it's so important that we really strive to make the art as good as the content.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, for the most part, I think we do that. We're fairly successful at that. But you're always striving for it, you know, just like someone on the field, you know, you might be, you're only as good as your last game. We're only as good as our last record. So even though you might have gone to the Super Bowl, you know, when the season starts over again, you're starting from scratch. I mean, just because you've got a Super Bowl ring doesn't mean you're a shoo-in for the next one, you know. You got to work hard, you got to train, you got to do all those things that takes you to the Super Bowl again, but hopefully you get there. But it's like your records, you work hard and hope people like it and make the best art you possibly can. So it's very similar in so many ways.
He knows more sports than he's letting on, isn't he?
Yeah, he does. Hey, Duncan, you're talking about your last game. Tell us about your latest powerful song, The Cross Has the Final Word.
Awesome.
Yeah, well, that was a song that was kind of it was an interesting song. We kind of wrote it with a good mate of ours here in Nashville, and the chorus is really strong. We like the chorus, but then the verse was kind of was like, oh, we're not sure on the verse. So we had the song. We said, look, why don't we give that song to a good mate of ours, Peter Furler, that used to be in the band about 10 years ago, because he's a great songwriter. And we thought that he could do good on this. Anyway, he ended up writing the verse of the song, singing that verse on the single. So, and then, you know, I think at the end of the day, there's so much craziness going on, guys. I mean, from, you know, these riots that are going, I just, it really hurts me when I see the kind of this kind of contention in our society right now. It just shouldn't be. It makes me sad, and it hurts, you know, as a human being that's an American. Even though I wasn't born in America, I am an American citizen. So it hurts me, you know, and I guess the cross is the final word kind of came out of that. At the end of the day, when it's all said and done, that's where the buck stops, is at the cross. And that's what I think, you know, a battle is not against flesh and blood. My battle is not against you or anyone else. Our battle is against principalities and powers and high places. So and it's the battle of ideologies that we're dealing with in this country today, is people perceive us to be, Christians to be one thing. Mm-hmm. And I'd say for the most part, we're not what people perceive us to be. So that's the kind of the PR battle that we're battling in our culture right now. But at the end of the day, the cross is the final word. That's where the buck stops, and that's where that song came from.
Amen. That is Duncan Phillips, the drummer for the Newsboys. Hey, Duncan, we really appreciate you taking a few minutes out of your time to join us here on Faith on a Field show. We look forward to hearing more of your music.
Absolutely.
for many, many more years. Yep. I know you guys have been going at it for over 30 years, and I think you got another 30 to go left.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm talking about. You're my man. I love that.
Thank you, Duncan.
Thanks, Duncan.
Thanks,
take
fellas.
Care.
Appreciate it. All right. All right. Bye.
And that was Duncan Phillips from the Newsboys, the drummer. And I didn't even get a chance to ask him.